I just want to roll my sleeves up and take the challenge on.
Welcome to Hoop Nerds with Billy Kegler, presented by the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association. We talk to coaches, athletes, and more to learn from their stories and apply learning lessons to improve each individual and stimulate growth for your program, team, staff, and self. Follow along as we explore success and failure en route to improving the game of basketball.
Before we jump in today, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. I've been associated with their products for a few years now, and I'm really impressed by their innovative and user-friendly shooting machines. They also are great people with tremendous customer service. It's no wonder why they have become the preferred choice among top programs around the country and world. I'm very grateful for their support of the show. Make sure to check them out at drdishbasketball.com and at Dr. Dish B-Ball on social media. Be sure to mention WBCA when ordering your next Dr. Dish to save an extra $300 off any commercial purchase. Coach Paris, welcome to the Hoop Nerds.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here and finally starting to get settled in a little bit, kind of, sort of. So glad to have the time to do it.
Well, I'm thankful for you making the time for us, and you have a little bit different shade of red than I'm used to seeing you in, but we'll get into that a little bit. All right. Tell me about the first time you coached something, anything, and what you remember from that experience.
I played small school basketball, and that's where I started coaching. Also, I've coached at every level, but anyway, we had a JV team. So I was the head coach of the JV team. And then I was assistant coach on the varsity team. And I remember one of the first games, the first game that I coached, and I had just graduated, and some of my teammates, former teammates, were sitting right behind the bench. I mean, feet behind the bench. And they're, I just remember they were trying to make me laugh, and they were listening in so hard to what I was saying. And I just remembered, you know, that the guys that you're coaching were the main focal point. It was a very early lesson, and staying just locked into what their needs were at that time. And yeah, it was a fun, really fun experience. It's part of why I'm still doing it, is that I had such a good first experience when I did start coaching.
So what was it about that first experience that drew you into it? Was it the person you were working for, the kids you were working with? I'm curious if you can pinpoint it down to like one of the most intriguing aspects.
I think it was a combination of those two. I think one happened because of the other. I think it was, I was able to realize, and this had happened to me when I played, someone was doing this, guys were doing this to me, and you don't realize it when you're playing. Just the impact and the interaction, and when guys learn something, that I just, at a very early age into my coaching tenure, I just, the feeling that you got when someone learned something or picked something up and then translated into the game was awesome. And I think that's what was the main driver behind my commitment to coaching. But the guy that I played for and coached for at that time had a big impact on it too, Steve Moore. It just was what he allowed me to do, what he encouraged me to do, and he allowed me to really grow as a coach. And those some of my most invaluable learning experiences as a coach came in my first 2 years of coaching.
Okay, so walk me through from that point, your coaching journey to where you are now with some of your stops.
Yes, I've been at every level. I've been blessed to have been with a lot of teams that have won a lot of games, maybe in spite of the fact that I was there. So
you're being too humble. You got to give yourself a little bit of credit.
So, but yeah, things are, my career has been, it's a little different than what people do now. Most times guys get right into the Division I oftentimes. And so, so I coached at the College of Worcester for 2 years after I graduated. Then I had a chance to get my graduate degree paid for. So I was a GA at DePaul University with a W in Greencastle, Indiana. And I was actually taking my classes in Terre Haute at Indiana State. So it was about a 45-minute commute every day. But anyway, yeah, so I did that for 2 years and then had an opportunity to go to a Division II program in Pennsylvania, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. So did that for 4 years. My first year, I slept in a basement on a mattress on the floor with my head about 10 feet away from a washer and dryer. Then I was fortunate enough to find an opportunity at the University of Akron and get into the Division I ranks. And I was happy as a clam at IUP and you know, and under those circumstances, I finally got a pay raise there, if you call it that. But I was happy as a clam. And then the Akron job came open and went there and worked with Keith Dambrot for 6 years. We had some really, really good teams while I was there. My network had started to grow just as a guy that hung his hat on recruiting as well as teaching, but recruiting and spending time working in gyms. And so you met a lot of people. And in my relationship with Greg Gard, who is the current head coach at Wisconsin, really started to develop in the recruiting trails. And just we turned out to be two very like-minded guys and just good friends. And so that's where it started from. And then when they had an opportunity on their staff available, Greg was the one that really brought me to Coach Ryan. I didn't really know Coach Ryan that way. And so, yeah, that happened. I had an opportunity. We had some tremendous success at the University of Wisconsin, obviously, in the 7 years that I was there. It was a lot of fun, but more importantly, had some incredible human beings that I worked with and coached. And so had an opportunity for a head coaching job in Chattanooga. I didn't know that much about the state of Tennessee or the city of Chattanooga. It's a really good place. And so was there for 5 years and recruited some talented players, but more importantly, again, some good guys. And you know, things came together. We had a lot of success the last 3 years I was there. And then here we are here. The SEC came calling and what a great place. Columbia is a great town. It's a capital city, similar to Madison that way. And just the people here are really invested in their sports in general, but certainly in men's basketball.
So I had to laugh when you said your head was literally feet away from a washer and dryer. I have a former student athlete of mine right now who's trying to get into coaching with a graduate assistant job, and I'm trying to impress upon him the sacrifices he's going to have to make if he wants to be in this industry. And I've shared some other stories, so I'll definitely share that one with him as well, which I think he'll appreciate. I'm curious about the move to Chattanooga. What were one or two of the things that intrigued you about that job that thought you could be successful there?
Yeah, I knew a little bit about the league, not as much as what I thought I knew once I got into the league. Honestly, it was a much better league than in my mind what I thought, right? And everybody's super confident, and I'm going to go to any league, I'm going to get that job, and I'm going to win every game. And, you know, there were some really good coaches, and it's a good, really good conference. Much better than what it had been even the 10 years before that. But, yeah, it was – I had to develop a relationship with the athletic director at the time, and, you know, had just gotten to learn more about what the program was, and you know, they had good facilities, and it was a good town. That aspect of it for me is an important part of, I have to be able to live where I work also. And so, but yeah, we were coming off of, we had done back-to-back Final Fours. We had gone Sweet 16, we had back-to-back Final Fours and then two Sweet 16s following that up. So of course you think you're going to get Duke as your next job. And then, you know, the reality of it was it's, you know, I didn't play for Mike Krzyzewski. So I don't have him calling to help get this job or that job. And that's no disrespect whatsoever to Bo Ryan, who's a fantastic coach and a good friend also. And, but yeah, I didn't have that kind of opportunity. So I was realistic about what my opportunities were going to be. And this was one that I thought I could win at. I thought it was a top two or three job in the conference in terms of every aspect of it, facilities and whatnot. And I was confident. And I said, if I don't do this now, I can end up waiting 6-7 years, not get that job, the coveted job that you're, you know, a high level Atlantic 10 job is a great job to start off, you know, not be able to get one of those opportunities and then be forced in my mind to feel like I have to take something that maybe I wouldn't want to take. And so this job had a lot of the components I was looking for. It was in a new region that was attractive to me, just to challenge myself and spread my wings in a region of the country that I had never worked. And, you know, I just wanted to roll my sleeves up and take the challenge on. And, you know, fortunately it worked out well, but it just was more about the components of the job. I thought you could have a lot of success there.
So I'm curious, you mentioned in there about had a good relationship with the athletic director. I'm generally speaking, how does that happen with you being at one school coaching and you developing a relationship with athletic directors? Obviously they move around and they go to different schools, but how do those relationships form athletic director coach?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of ways now. They have these forums even sometimes now to try to introduce, and it's a great concept to introduce some young assistant coaches to athletic directors, to search firms. Mine was a little more organic. We had a common friend. He had been watching us as it turned out, and was enamored with what we were doing at Wisconsin and accomplishing, and had watched me a lot more than, I mean, they do their jobs also, but he had watched me a lot more than what I had paid attention to them. But anyway, we met kind of by chance at a Final Four through some common connections. And then again, just we both were very like-minded guys and hit it off, and he respected what I was doing, as did I with him. And then when they had a job that opened up, it made a lot of sense. He was in pursuit of me, and I certainly was open to the opportunity. In fact, it had opened once before, and I started going down the road with it and wasn't certain if I would take it at that point or not. And then when it opened again, I knew it was something that I wanted to pursue.
Okay, awesome. So you listed your journey out for us and having a variety of levels, D3, D2, D1. What's an idea or a theory that you had early in your coaching career that is now different in your coaching arsenal because you've been presented with new information?
Sideline Interactive delivers digital and LED scoring tables and video boards that generate excitement in your gym and the ultimate game day experience for your players and fans. We provide you the blueprint and the game plan to generate $10,000 or more in sponsorship revenue every year. 95% of our schools generate enough advertising dollars during the first school year to pay for their purchase. Any school or college can qualify for no fee, no interest financing over 2 school years. We're ready and able to deliver your order to you within 3 to 4 weeks. The tables and boards can be used for any indoor sport, as well as watching game film, school assemblies, signing days, or any other event that is held in your gym. Visit sidelineinteractive.com or call 832-786-0302 to schedule a 15 to 30 minute live web demo to see our tables and boards in action and what these fantastic products can do for you. Or email sales@sidelineinteractive.com. A link to sidelineinteractive.com is in the show notes for today's episode.
As many listeners know, I spent over 6 years as a general manager at Just the Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. I was able to spend time talking hoops with coaches like Tom Izzo, along with high school and youth coaches, in addition to meeting some basketball legends, including my childhood favorite, Sam Elke, who is in the WBCA Hall of Fame and High School Basketball Museum, located at Just the Game Fieldhouse, which is a must visit for any true hoop nerd. They also play host to the WBCA All-Star Games and Coaches Clinic every year. Just the Game hosts over 70 basketball and volleyball tournaments annually and is a great place to play for teams of all ages and ability levels. You can't beat all Wisconsin Dells has to offer in your free time. The Fieldhouse also has two sister companies in Just the Game Impressions and Just the Game Live. Just the Game Impressions specializes in customized screen printing and embroidery and promotional products. They serve businesses, schools, sports teams, and more. Just the Game Live takes pride in providing affordable and simple live streaming solutions for venues or programs of all kinds. Inquire today for more information. For more info on everything Just the Game has to offer, check them out at justthegamefieldhouse.com.
I'll put it on two different ways. One, from a recruiting aspect. I remember, this is funny, this is how naive you are when you're when you're young. You know, I was at Division III, and I said, you're confident. I said, man, if we had scholarships, I'd be able to recruit anyone. I mean, literally anyone in the country, the top players. So then I get to a Division II school that we did have scholarships, and you realize that's not true. And I said, man, if I'm at Division I, I could recruit anyone in the entire country. And then you get a Division I job and you realize that's not true. And then you say, if I was at the high major level, I literally would recruit anyone in the country. And then you realize that that's also difficult. That was a learning process that, but basketball philosophically, I'd say one of the things that has changed with me from when I was a coach, I coach now a little bit more like I thought when I was a player offensively. And you get into knowing what wins games from an offensive standpoint. I think we go hard on the defensive end, and sometimes it's like offensively, let's do this and try not to hurt ourselves and mess it up, and then we'll get back to defense. But I'm a defensive-minded guy by nature as a coach, but offensively, I like the guys, they play. They're aggressive. I'm more open to, I'm more concentrated, I should say. I'm more focused on players doing what they're good at on the court and making sure, and there's no hesitation. If you can shoot a three, don't ever, ever, ever hesitate to shoot a three. If you drive and an opportunity, and I think everyone's going to say that, but the most aggressive things I say to our players offensively, by and large, have to do with them turning down opportunities that they have proven that they succeed in. Really, it's really all it comes down to offensively. When I'm getting on them, it's 90% of the time that they should have shot that. They should have attacked that. You should have dunked that. You should have, you know, it's, and the guys respond well to it. They do. They know that I want them to go out there and do things offensively. And so I think that was probably the biggest shift what I've always thought coaching.
So as far as a skill standpoint or abilities that they prove to you that they can do, how are they determining or proving to you that they can do that? Is there metrics they have to meet? Is it a feel? Is it discussions? What are they doing for you to give them the green light, so to speak, to accomplish those tasks, whether it's shooting perimeter shots, attacking at the rim, or taking early transition shots, whatever it might be?
Yeah, it's more feel and conversations. I try to take the numbers out of it. Just, you know, we'll talk some numbers as to what really effective players that do this. These are the numbers that they do. So when you are in the gym by yourself, you should be aspiring for these numbers. I try to take that out of the equation when it comes to, are you going to be able to do those in a game? I try to take the numbers out of it just to encourage. So it really comes down to feel what I see, what I know a person's worked on, how comfortable they are, what their belief level is in them achieving in those situations, and then some conversations, because I think you have to have some candid conversations about, hey, we're trying to add this. This is a thing we really are working on. And as we get into these 5-on-5 situations, it's not really bearing out. You're allowed to try those things at practice. It's a practice or four, but it's not bearing out. So let's concentrate on this when we get into games. And when you get these one or two deals, these situations, you have at it. I mean, you have at it when you get to those. And but it's a lot of conversations. It is.
I always think back to that, and it's not necessarily the case, but I think to Bob Knight, who is like, I'm going to have my best shooter shooting all the shots. And it's a different approach on that, right? Where you're putting people in the positions to succeed with what they're successful at. But you mentioned recruiting there, that you could do it at any level and you had confidence. So I want to go back to that real quick and just ask you this question. Now at South Carolina, if you have a recruit and you can only ask them one question, what is the one question you're asking them to get the best feel for if they're a good fit for you and your program?
It probably would have to do with what's their relationship like with their mother or father or aunt or grandmother or whoever it was, particularly the woman in their life that has helped. But what's their relationship like with them? That'll be a good indicator of, it's always works that way. Kids that have respect for and value and, you know, even a little fear of their parents end up being guys that, because I think that those guys want to be coached, or they will be coached a little bit more, because the number one key for me is if they're going to be willing to be coached. Coaches are important. Otherwise players would just play the games. I mean, I know they make all the baskets. I don't make any. I'm still 0 for all season, all my whole career. You do have to put it together. You do have to encourage this, discourage that potentially. And so if guys don't want to be coached, if they have it all figured out already, it's difficult to coach those guys. Honestly, I'd like just to get a feel. I guess I can't do it in one question, but I'd like to get a feel for how they interact with their family.
No, I love that approach, because everybody uses the general term of coachability, right? But to be able to have a little bit of an identifier or something as a character trait to pull into that is super important. So let's move away from maybe basketball stuff. And we touched on this a little bit, but you're taking young boys, quote unquote, and moving them into men so they're successful adults after they leave, and using basketball as a tool to get there. What's something that you do as a program, as a coach, that makes the biggest positive impact for them going forward in their lives to be successful humans?
I think the biggest thing is that I tell them the truth. I think it's in this day and age, I think it's not happening that often. And unfortunately, because of that, sometimes some of these young guys are going to be told the truth the first time when they're at work, and the guy in the cubicle next to them gets a promotion and they don't, and they're going to find out why that happened. And it oftentimes is the first time that people get some reality. But leading up to that, I think the thing that I do, the most important thing I do, and I don't try to do this, I do it because I like it. It's a big part of why I like this job, is just developing relationships. And I care about these guys. I mean, I care a lot about them, how they do, how they achieve in the classroom, interactions that they've had, how their day is going. I really honestly care about it. You can't pretend that. You can't just say that I care about you. They have to see that. And then when they do see that, they allow you to because ultimately, for the majority of guys, I think basketball comes down to how well do you as a unit do things that most people don't want to do that much. Block out, dive on floors, chest guys up, do things that people don't want to do, unless your talent is overwhelmingly good. And so I think I tell them the truth, and they come to know that and rely on that and want that. They want the truth from me. 95% of the guys, they want the truth. And then you know when they need to pick up and when it's the truth. If the truth is something that they don't want to hear necessarily, it may not be a moment to give them that information. So you got to feel that out. But I think just telling them the truth and having to deal and cope with frustrations, with failures, I think that sets them up for the biggest successes in life, because as you know, there are going to be a lot of failures in life. You're going to have a goal, an expectation, a job opportunity, whatever it is that you might want that you're not going to get. And then how you respond to that often determines what your next opportunity is going to look like.
Beautiful. So when I tune in to watch Gamecock basketball this winter, or anybody listening tunes in to watch the SEC play, can you give us a broad overview of what they're going to see from your team going forward at South Carolina?
A cohesive unit that enjoys playing with each other. I think that's been a common characteristic of the last three teams I've had anyway, that moves the ball and is aggressive offensively and committed defensively to some basic fundamentals on the defensive side. But offensively, you know, a lot of unscripted stuff, a lot of reading and reacting, a lot of different guys that have the ability to make a shot and or a play. And I just like to have four guys, five guys even sometimes, to have skill on the floor and, you know, catching on the top of the key and reverse pivot, dribble, fake handoff, throw the next guy and slip out of a ball screen. That's a skilled guy. Some guys can't do that. Skill doesn't mean just shooting threes, but I like to have the guys that know the game of basketball on the floor. And so hopefully you'll be able to tell that when you watch us play, playing hard. And but the most important thing, I can't tell you how many times I heard this about last year's team, just the overall excitement for how guys enjoyed playing with each other on the court. You could, it was pretty obvious that that was a real thing.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to get you out of here on a non-basketball related question.
All right.
Use your imagination a bit for me. And if you were to open a refrigerator and look inside it, what one item inside that refrigerator best identifies with who you are as a person and why?
What an interesting question.
It's not going to be all softballs here, Coach.
Yeah, I know. That's a good one. I have to think what's even in my refrigerator right now.
Or maybe at some point in your past life, because I know you're not home a lot right now because you're a busy man.
Yeah. I just even got a refrigerator, honestly, or a place with a refrigerator. So let's say leftover pizza. If you have leftover pizza in there, I think it's, you can rely on what it's going to taste like. And you're always going to enjoy it, and it's going to be satisfying. It's all you're never going to feel like I ate that pizza and I just wish I would have had something else. I think it's you can count on it. It's reliable. You might look at it. You might feel like it was been in there a little bit too long. You might wonder if it was this. It was maybe a different kind that I didn't want. But once you put it in a mic and you heat it up and you dive into it, you're going to be happy that that's what you ended up picking out of the refrigerator.
Beautiful. I love it. Coach Paris, thanks for coming on the Hoop Nerds and sharing with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.